WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg police identify the two women found dead in a vacant lot, and a suspect is in custody. After some Virginia school officials, including Harrisonburg's superintendent, recently removed book titles from school library shelves after parent complaints, the National Anti-Censorship Organization is pushing back. And one bill proposed for the next General Assembly could take away some discretion that school officials have when they suspect a crime has been committed. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, November 25th. It's Thanksgiving Day. Harrisonburg police have identified two women found dead Tuesday night, and a suspect in their deaths is in custody. Police say 54-year-old Aline Elizabeth Redman of Harrisonburg and 39-year-old Tanita Larice Smith of Charlottesville were found dead in an undeveloped lot in the city. Police identified the suspect in their deaths as 35-year-old Anthony Robinson of Washington, D.C. He's been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and other related charges. Both women had been reported missing. Smith had not been seen in Charlottesville since November 14th. Former Charlottesville city manager Taryn Richardson is suing Charlottesville Mayor Nakia Walker and other officials. The Daily Progress reports that Richardson claims the city and the defendants violated his First Amendment rights and that they disagreed with his views on racism in city government. He says he was required to sign an agreement not to speak badly of the city in order to get his severance pay. The suit also names as defendants City Councilor Heather Hill, City Attorney Lisa Robertson, and former interim city manager John Blair. Richardson is black, as is the mayor, who has been vocal about exposing racism in the city throughout her time as mayor. Richardson was fired before his planned resignation date after Seville Weekly published a story in which he heavily criticized city officials. How much discretion should school officials have about contacting law enforcement when they suspect a crime has been committed? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports on a bill that would take away some of that discretion.
Back in 2020, lawmakers were interested in finding ways to eliminate what some people call the school-to-prison pipeline. So they passed a bill that eliminated the requirement that principals report suspected misdemeanors to law enforcement. Ben Kaiser at the Virginia Association of School Superintendents says that ended up creating new problems.
In all practicality, that language may have caused some confusion in local school divisions as to when to report and when not to report. And so I'm not sure that the intent of the original bill was fulfilled by reducing the number of referrals to law enforcement.
After a high-profile incident involving students in Loudoun County, Republican Senator John Cosgrove of Chesapeake is now introducing a bill to undo the previous bill and require principals report suspected misdemeanors.
This bill just basically says that, you know, if you commit a criminal offense, and misdemeanors can be criminal offenses, they have to be reported to law enforcement. And, you know, that creates a public record. You know, parents need to know what's going on in their schools.
Now, concerns about the involvement of parents in public education was central to the election of Republican Glenn Youngkin as governor, but he'll still have to deal with a Senate controlled by Democrats, which will be taking up Senator Cosgrove's bill in January. I'm Michael Pope.
Some Virginia school officials, including Harrisonburg's superintendent, have recently removed book titles from school library shelves immediately following parent complaints. But experts warn that this is dangerous and could violate state law. VPM's Megan Pauley reports.
Virginia law requires all school districts to have procedures in place outlining a formal review of challenged material. Christine Emmerin is with the National Coalition Against Censorship. She says schools should follow those procedures and shouldn't preemptively remove books from library shelves.
So the parent has a right to influence their own children's education, but not to determine what all children have access to read or to learn.
Emmerin's organization has sent letters to school districts, including in Virginia, urging them to protect students' rights to learn from diverse perspectives. Books that tell LGBTQ stories are disproportionately censored and challenged in school libraries, according to NCAC.
The National Coalition Against Censorship has sent letters to school districts in Virginia in protest of the removal of books from school libraries after parent complaints. That includes a protest sent to Harrisonburg School Superintendent Michael Richards, who recently removed the graphic novel genderqueer from the high school library, Richards has since formed a committee to review policy on the specific challenges posed by graphic novels. All this raises the question also of how books end up in school libraries to begin with, and Megan has that report.
In Virginia, it's typically left up to librarians to determine which books end up in their school's library. Margaret Baker is executive director of the Virginia Association of School Librarians. She says librarians consider a number of factors when selecting books: state standards, book awards, requests from students and staff, and school budget.
And then based on the budget, then we would have a list of materials that we felt were important to add to the library collection.
If approved by the administration, the school then orders the new books. And if a book is challenged by a parent, a formal review process typically starts with the school librarian.
Megan Pauley reporting. Finally today, each year the Pamunkey and Mattaponi tribes fulfill a legal obligation that has become a Thanksgiving fixture in Virginia. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil has more.
Two deer are laid out on the ground in the garden of the governor's mansion. One is from the Mattaponi tribe. Chief Mark Custolo presented it to Governor Ralph Northam.
Wingapo Namatas, bring you greetings from the Mattaponi people. It's a privilege to be here today to continue a treaty that, as the governor said, has been gone for 344 years.
The Mattaponi and Pamunkey tribe have continued to bring tribute in keeping with the 1677 Treaty of Middle Plantation. Before the Pamunkey tribe gave their tribute to Northam, Ishi Brown sang a song about friendship. Northam said he saw friends in the audience.
We as an administration have really tried to build on the relationships that we have with the Native Americans. We all should remember and remind ourselves that when the Europeans came to this country, these lands were already had people on them, and that was your ancestors. And we need to make sure that we honor and recognize that.
The annual tax tribute ceremony is a reminder of tribal sovereignty, which means that Native tribes and nations have rights separate from the U.S. Constitution. Tribal sovereignty has frequently been ignored. Earlier this month, Northam signed an executive order that requires consultation with tribes living in Virginia. They'll need to be included in decisions that impact environmental and historical issues. I'm Jad Khalil.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected, and I hope you have a restful and safe Thanksgiving Day.